In this bone-crushingly good episode of Candy Teeth Radio, Jeff and Jeremy sit down with musician and BMX rider, Pat Doherty. Pat talks about his new music project and what that process has been like, also featuring the new shop intern, and a remote interview with a Tacoma punk. Stay tuned for good conversation, good music, and a few George Bush jokes.
I'm super excited today.
Uh-huh.
Because we have Pat Doherty in the studio.
Yeah.
Candy Teeth Radio. We love it. He's been here before with the Wheelies, or with a couple of them. With one of them, huh? But I try to make him into a couple. But now he's back. And he's been out there in Tacoma, living life. And making music.
Making music.
Making babies.
Making babies.
Making... Well,
big jumps on a BMX bike?
Making some shit on a BMX bike.
Welcome back, man.
Thanks for coming.
It's nice to be here. It's cool to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure.
We already had a whole field trip worth of visiting. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had the after-hour sesh.
Pat is... I don't know. Maybe we should talk about... Let's talk about music first. How about you have a EP that's about to drop?
Right? I do.
When?
The 8th. December 8th, coming up.
Isn't that like right now?
Friday, yeah.
That's Friday?
Yeah.
We got to edit this before Friday? Maybe I'll just tell people on Facebook.
Yeah, it doesn't have to come out. But.
Man, it would be cool if it did, though.
But yeah, I got something coming out. I'm stoked.
Shoot. Maybe we should do it where we don't edit it. Let's not cuss.
All right, we'll see how long it lasts. Well, let's just see how it goes.
Listen how quiet it is.
Yeah, huh?
Listen to the spaces.
Yeah.
Would you rather hear beeps or spaces? We need people to write in. Write in somewhere and tell somebody about, do you like spaces or beeps?
Have them let us know what you think.
Because I read a thing about how only intelligent people cuss. Okay, Grandma?
I don't know, Jeremy.
That's enough, Grandma. Let's get back to Pat.
Well, that's not very nice.
Weed's legal, Grandma. Just use it. Use it to go to sleep.
It helps your glaucoma, Grandma.
Yeah. Pat, I want to apologize because now I'm going to go off on my grandma stuff instead of asking you about your whole life.
So you have grandma stuff?
Well, yeah.
Let's go off on your grandma stuff real quick.
Let's go off on my grandma's going off on... Oh, and that leads me... Now we're going in all kinds of directions. That leads me to a new segment called...
Boomin' Granny.
Quote of the Night.
Quote of the Night.
Whoever gets Quote of the Night is the champion of the world, gets the presents.
How do you all get the quote of the night?
What?
How do you get Boom. Quote of the Night?
It depends. I just cussed?
Yeah. Fuck. Damn it. That's another one.
They're right by each other, though.
All right, man. Just... Keep rolling.
Maybe they don't notice them, though. Like, if you just leave one. I'm not really feeling myself today. Inside my mind.
Yeah.
A little manic. But I like it. Jeff, do you have any questions for Pat?
Yeah, so... tell us about the new record that's about to come out in a couple days.
Where to start, right?
Hold on, let's party.
We're creeping in on the neighbors right now. Mm-hmm.
These are the neighbors. Q Studios. Check them out on Facebook.
It's the letter Q. FYI.
Q be making music. Q be making beats. Okay. I've seen your stuff. Whoa, don't mock people. Don't record people on the podcast while you're mocking them and sneaky recording them.
Yeah, don't do that.
All right. You have a question.
Yes.
I'm still trying to...
So, anyways, you want to tell us about the new record that's about to come?
Sorry. I'm all nervous now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to say about it. It's okay. It's eight songs. It was recorded over the last couple years, actually.
Uh-huh.
It's almost been 2 years. All right. Actually, it's kind of a concept piece.
Okay, yeah, give us the real deal.
It's a bit of a concept piece, and it's okay. Supposed to kind of be about, it's half about my life growing up and sort of this transition period I've been in.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of how I'm changing and how to deal with it and, you know, the new direction that life might take you. And then another part of it is supposed to sort of be kind of globally the change that we're all making from kind of a digital world. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, I'm part of a generation, I feel like this is the last, because I'm 32.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm sort of part of the last of this generation that didn't grow up with, like, a cell phone and the right. internet. And, you know, I think it kind of makes you look at things a little differently maybe when you know. I think kids nowadays are just kind of growing up differently. And there's right. sort of this push now towards, like, everything is either all digital, you know, it's streamed and all that. And so half of the record is some of the songs are 100% no, like, computer instruments, if that makes sense. Like, everything okay. is, like, all the percussion and everything is just kind of real, right. you know, like, all of that. And then some of it is a mix of digital and real instruments, and then there's a little bit where it's, like, all the instruments that were used were 100% digital. So it's kind of this
crazy
sort of, it sounds weird, but in my head it kind of works, because it's this mix between kind of the life that I've lived where it's, you know, like tape recordings and one of the things on the record, it starts, the whole thing starts with this intro track of this cassette tape that I found from a trip I was on when I was like 21 down in Southern California. And this, it's kind of weird. I had this cassette recorder that I would carry around with me a lot. Mm-hmm. And we were on this trip and I would record stuff in this. We were leaving a show. I was just with my friends, were on tour, and I was just with them.
Right.
And we're leaving this show, and this homeless guy comes up and he's messing with us, and we give him some money, and he gives us this talk about how just because you can play music uh-huh. doesn't mean you're gonna make money. You have to have showmanship.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's like his thing. Is and so I ended up finding that tape, and I was like, I got it.
That's cool.
I got to use this. Yeah. It was, so that gets used a couple times in there. And so it's sort of like this project in particular was supposed to kind of be more like, sometimes with music and art in general, you can be a real perfectionist and
yeah.
you kind of beat yourself down a little bit and hold yourself back, I think, a lot. And mm-hmm. I tried really hard to put out something that was going to be really good and something that everybody could listen to, and maybe somebody that was a critic could tell that there was, you know, there was a lot of thought put into it, but I tried not to hold myself back and really kind of let myself go in different directions that I normally wouldn't go in, like with the song where it's all like digital instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just something I wouldn't normally do, and it's right. a style that to push myself and have fun and not worry about, like, well, is this something that somebody wants to hear? Because sometimes you'll, as, you know, when you're making music, you'll think that a little bit, like,
right.
or you can think that. And this record is more how I originally started making music to begin with, which was, I didn't have, like, a filter. I try to turn the filter off, because uh-huh. sometimes, you know, you make some music, maybe some people, they're like, gives you high fives for it, you know, mm-hmm. and yeah. then you go to make something else and you're like, well, am I going to get a high five again? Mm-hmm. You know, are they going to like it?
Hit that sophomore jinx.
Yeah. And so you kind of start to, you do jinx yourself a little bit. You get, you know, you critique yourself too much. I think it's important to critique yourself and know what, you know, you don't want to put like stuff out, but I tried really hard to just like do what was fun.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that shows, you know, and all it's eight songs, and all eight songs are supposed to flow together. Like, it's not supposed to be like a single, like it's like one song, two song, three song. I really wanted to make something that was old school, and like I'm not into the just one song deal where it's like kids nowadays are just like, you know, you download a song, and that's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to do something that's going to be like you put it on and you listen to it, and it's for the person that wants to do that. They right. don't want just, I mean, it's, you could still just go and listen to each song, and it'd be, I mean, I'm stoked if you do, like, if anybody listens yeah. to my music, I'm like, or I'm like, that's great. But, yeah, I really, really wanted to make something, though, that was, you know, I'm kind of interrupting myself, but I don't know if you guys have heard, like, you know, it's like, oh, nowadays kids, you know, their attention span is so blown out Nothing. Because of the yeah. internet, and I don't really buy into that. Uh-huh. And I think if you put something out that is, like, a full length, or, you know, because...
Attention span challenging?
Yeah, more than just, like, 2 minutes or one song or whatever, it's like, they're going to be into it. Like, if it's... Good. They're they gonna, like it, yeah. You're gonna sit down and listen to it, like.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of times you gotta think too that, like, the people that are saying these kind of things, you know, about, like, what people want or whatever, are probably just, like, parroting back what they've heard before. But also, like, the demographic that really matters for is, like, people that run, like, giant, like, media corporations.
But I will even say, like, we just did the music video that came out for the little solo project that's going to happen here. And my buddy Dave that made the video, we were, right before we put it out, you know, we were like, I was like, maybe we should do like a little 10-second clip mm-hmm. with the song for the Instagram deal. Because that's really mm-hmm. important now, right? Like, you right. got to do your social media, you got to do your Instagram yeah. thing. But he made a point, which I thought was genius. And he's like, you want people going to... the YouTube link is your goal, right? To watch the whole song, watch the whole video. And he's like, if you give him that 10-second clip, but like early, they're just going to watch that 10-second clip and they are going to feel like they watched the whole thing. Uh-huh. You know, so you do kind of, there is, it's like half and half, like, because the internet is crazy because there's so much awesome stuff coming at you all the time. Like, I'm guilty of it too. Like, I'm addicted to it. I Woo! Love, like, yeah. You know, I grew up on print media and CDs and records and VHS tapes, but it's like, God, the internet's amazing. Like, there's just a constant flow of insane Anything. Stuff getting uh-huh. sent to me all the time. But at the same time, it's all that crazy stuff is so disposable.
Right.
Because it's like, you'll see that crazy thing and you're like, well, I know tomorrow something crazy is going to happen. And yeah. then something else crazy it's is going to happen. Crazy. Yeah. And you don't really go back to that first one. So yeah. it's really, really hard to... get your impression out on the internet, like yeah. you and people who do like make it, it's pretty remarkable that they do, because there is just so much crazy good stuff all the time being put out there.
It's all weird,
so you gotta just have fun.
What's your Instagram so people can check out what you were doing for the promotion of it?
It's just Pat Doherty, PatDoherty.
That's easy.
Yeah,
those little pictures are cool.
Oh yeah, those were fun.
So you're still playing with the wheelies though? Yes.
Yeah, wheelies are, they're in the middle of recording too. We've already started, and we for like the diehard wheelie fans, if there's any out there, Joseph, you guys all know Joseph.
Yeah.
He was, you know, founding member and lifelong, you know, buddy. He's like basically one of the main reasons I ever like started playing music.
Right. And, yeah.
Him and his wife moved to Utah, now living in Long Beach. So there was like a, you know, a moment where it was like, you know, losing the bro and bandmate and all of that. And right. The rest of the dudes, we all wanted to keep it going. And Joe was, you know, cool with it. I know he's a little bummed that he's not playing, because it's not like he didn't like quit. It wasn't like a, mm-hmm. like, I hate you guys, I'm done.
Like, I have to go live somewhere else right now.
You know, he's got two little girls, and...
Yeah.
So he had to go do his thing, and... But we got Justin Martin. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him, mm-hmm. but he plays bass for us now, which is rad. And we're playing First Night.
Oh, cool.
This year for New Year's Eve.
Where you're partying gloves.
Yeah, for sure. We'll be playing at the Mountain House stage next to the old graffiti walls. So
cool. Yeah.
So we're almost done with, we're halfway through recording a new thing up in Seattle, which is sounding really good. It's actually probably the best thing I think I've ever done. So
that's awesome. How long has the wheelies been going?
Pretty close to 10 years actually.
Wow. See, I knew it was something like that.
Some way or another.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so are these songs on your new record, like, are these songs that you've been coming up with, like, over time, and then, like, knowing that that's not really a Wheelie song, or, like, did you have this idea from the get-go, from starting years ago, or?
It's kind of like half and half. Some of it, you know, it was sort of, like, I had a couple songs that I knew weren't going to be Wheelie songs, and then recorded them with Jeff Southard that does Swoon, mm-hmm. and he was just like, hey, if you want to just keep going until you want to stop, you know, like, if you got more stuff you want to do. And it's just like, pretty much every single song on this record is just done in, because this was all during, like, my wife and I got pregnant, we're having a baby, we had the baby, I got hurt, I don't know if you guys know that.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Like, I totally blew out my shoulder, had to get surgery.
Oh, you got hurt.
It was last September. And so I was halfway through this project, and then, you know, we were having the kid, and I was juggling that, working, and then just, that's actually a whole other story. I don't know if you guys want to go into the getting the hurt story this last time, but.
Yeah. It's gnarly. Come on.
Let's hear it.
Hollow meat. Come on.
Well, we were,
surgery?
Yeah, I'll show you guys that.
Ooh! Cuss cam. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Surgery.
Yeah.
All the way across.
Since last time I saw you.
Yeah.
You're more of a man since last time I saw you, boy.
But you guys know I ride BMX. Like, yeah. Grew up doing it. My wife and I went out to Port Orchard, and there's, like, a really good skate park out.
Yeah, isn't it new?
It's pretty new. Yeah. And I'd only been there, like, one or two times. And so, you know, my wife's really cool. So, like, let's take advantage of it. Like, we'll go over, do our thing, hang out for however long, you know, and go chill at the park. I'll ride, and we'll just have a good week. It's a Sunday, and, it, you know, it's because I got work the next day and everything. We go to the skate park, and, like, as soon as I get in, the park's rad, right? Like, it's total my style. Like, big bowls, just love it. Fast.
You're having fun.
I'm all stoked. I've been riding a lot, you know? Like, I'm just, like, feeling good. Like, and I knew as soon as, once we got there, it's one thing about BMX and stuff like that, like, you pay your dues, like, falling down, and mm-hmm. you kind of learn how to, like, you know, sometimes, like, when you just feel off, like, you're like, I don't feel like as good as I could, you know? And as a new dad, I wasn't sleeping a lot, probably pushing it when I didn't need to, you know? And,
this wasn't the time.
Yeah, but it was like, I get to the park and there's like a couple kids that I know skating and they're filming and they're kind of going for it, you know? And I'm like, I'm watching them and I'm getting pumped and, you know, the park's just feeling good. And I, like, part of me is like, I'm really tired. But then the other part of me is just like, riding my bike to me is just like, so natural. Like, it's just, I don't really do anything that I don't think I'm gonna land, you know? But it's like, I've just been doing it for so long that it's just like a zen thing. Like, you're just like I'm not good at everything else in my life. Like, the farther I get away from my bike, like, the harder life gets, you know?
Like
I'm not great at, like, coping with stuff, and my bike is like a huge,
super good at it.
Deal for me, you know? And it's, but anyway, that's besides the point. So I'm riding and I end up doing this line that, cause I've only been at this park once before, and there's this thing I'm eyeing up and I'm like, oh, I got it. And so I just went for it as like, no, I'd been riding a little bit. We'd probably been there maybe 20 minutes. And my wife's there. She's got the kid. I feel like I can't stay for super long.
Hurry up.
And I'm just like, all right, I got this. And it's out of like a 10-foot bowl into a 14-foot wall. And it's my opposite way. Mm-hmm. And so you get the line into it. You get a lot of speed. So I just knew, like, I was like, just keep your speed. And with big transitions like that, you just float. And you just have to kind of let the ramp do its thing, but the wall that I was going into was pushed back like a foot.
Oh, so yeah, a little extra.
So you have to, like, transfer back, and so it's my your opposite way on a BMX bike can really feel a lot crazier than you'd think. Like, mm-hmm. if you don't ride, it doesn't make sense. But, like, your opposite way, no matter how good you are, can just sometimes, like, it just is different.
I get it.
And,
from skating, I can feel it when mm-hmm. you're talking about it.
Yeah, I can, yeah.
Just as soon as I went off, I was just like, oh, man, like, I'm gonna fall. Like, I just knew, you know, and, you never know how bad it's gonna be. And, so it was just like, I held on, you know, and so I just went straight to my head and shoulder.
Oof.
And like my, like I kind of, like I just.
Scorpion.
So the way it worked out is I didn't push back into the wall. I just went out of this 10-foot vert bowl and uh-huh. just stayed Oof. In that Floated. Trajectory.
Yeah, upside then, down.
So I Almost. Like, I needed to go back, but I just went. Shoot like that, and so I wasn't going to catch the transition.
Right.
But I'm still coming down straight, nose first.
Yeah.
And I think I took a foot off, but I know I hit, and, you know, when you hit super hard like that, it's just this, like,
yeah.
Like, everything just kind of stops for a second. You don't feel anything. There's no, like,
yeah.
There's no, like, oh. You know, the first thing I think, you know, I'm still down, and I'm like, my wife's here, and with the kid, you know, and she's right on the edge of the bowl, because she just came back from walking around. And she's cool with, I mean, not to say she's cool with it, but it's like, she's not, like, screaming or yelling or anything like that.
Right.
And so I even got up, I gave, like, a little shaka.
Yeah.
And this kind of sucked. So everybody's like, oh, dude, are you all right? And I was just like, yeah, I'm all right, you know, like, leave me alone, I'm all right. And so I tried to get out of the bowl, and I've got my bike,
yeah.
and I'm walking up the transition of the ramp, and I slip and put my arms out.
Yes,
at this point, they don't work. At this point, it's only been like 30, 40 seconds.
Right? Yeah.
And so I go up, and I slip, and I put both my arms out, because I got my bike in my good hand.
Yeah,
and my shoulders
I just,
attached.
Like, instinctively put my hand out.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, it was just like, boom, like, white, you know, like, oh, you know, like, this isn't right. feeling great, you know. And so somebody helped my, got my bike out or whatever, and, but it wasn't like, it's not, it wasn't like as bad as you think it is. Like, everybody hypes up the collarbone and the shoulder deal, but,
This sounds awful.
So.
Sounds like you had surgery about it.
Well, so I have a stick, right? And right. so I drove, and my yeah. wife.
Jesus.
My wife's never driven a stick, right?
Oh.
And so I'm like, oh, man. Like, I'm trying to assess the situation because it's like, I got my baby and my wife there, and we're on the other side of the bridge, and we got to drive home. And I'm like, all right, I'm not that bad. Like, I feel all right, you know, shake it off, try to get it all back together. So first thing I do is I'm like, all right, I'm going to call my mom and see if she'll pick us up because maybe I shouldn't drive. So call my. She's gonna be pissed if she ever hears this. So,
sorry, mom.
I call my mom, and you know, my mom has been there through all of it. Right?
Yeah.
Like, this is not the first bump.
Oh, she's all listen.
Yeah, this is not the
Knock
first.
Knock it
bump.
Off.
Well, no, she's not even like that.
She's
but
not
the first bone I've broken. Not the first time I've gotten hurt.
Yeah.
Not, you know, and there's been like highs and lows through the whole thing. There's been like the scraped knee to the broken bone. It's not the first time it's not my first surgery either. And so I call her and I'm like, Mom, Tiara and I are out here. I got the baby. I was like, I just fell pretty bad on my bike. I don't know how bad it is yet. I was like, I can still move my arm a bit, but I was like, I don't think I broke my arm, but it's my shoulder and everything swelling up. And she's like, you can move your arm still? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, I bet you're fine. You know, and I'm like, so I don't want to argue with her because it's just like, don't want to deal with it. So I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'm probably fine. So then I call my brother and I'm like, yo, Russ. I was like, I just took it on my bike. And then I realized I'm like, he just had surgery on his leg for crashing his motorcycle and just got like a super gnarly surgery on his leg and ankle.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, you can't drive a stick. And he's like, what? You know, he's like, well, I'd come out and get you. You know, and I'm like, man, like... I don't want to freaking drag my brother out now
crippled
with the
brother.
Yeah. So I end up, I'm like, all right, I'm fine, you know. And so we pack up, and I just sort
You're
of.
You're going to do it. Yeah, You're so going
to
do it.
I just chilled, and I was able to hold on to the, because it was my left arm that I hurt, and I could hold on to the steering wheel, and I could just drive the stick. Then got home and iced it, and then I was like, all right, I think I'm all right. And I just kept telling myself, I'm okay. I'm all right.
Good.
So I wake up, go to bed. It's Sunday.
Yeah.
Go to bed.
Lay down?
Yeah.
Like, arm laying there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't... Okay. I don't know if it was just like I was willing myself to not feel bad, but it was like... Like I said, it's not the first time I've been hurt. I've been hurt, it's not... I've broken bones and all that. So it's like half of me is just like, I'm not dealing with this again. Like, I don't want to be off my bike. I don't want to deal with this. Right. Like, everything was going right.
Denial.
It's like, the bike is a big deal for me. So it's like, part of me is just like, I just had this kid. I have to be responsible. I can't be hurt. I have to work. I have to take care of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's all on me. You can't blow it, dude. Like, this is blowing it to some people.
Right. I understand.
It's not like I'm making money. Like, you're putting yourself on the line, you know? And having a kid, you realize that way, way more. All of a sudden, it's just like, I don't want him to ride a bike. Like, I'd like him to ride a bike, but I don't want him to jump downstairs and...
Yeah.
So...
You're somebody's dad, dude.
Yeah, dude. That's crazy. That's a whole other thing, too.
Yeah.
But so, I go to work the next day and drive in. And I do production design work for, do you guys know Delano's coffee roaster? So I just work on a computer, you know?
Yeah.
But one of the other guys that works in the same room as me, he rides mountain bikes. And he's had a few injuries. And so at this point, all up my neck is black and blue.
Oh.
And like down, and it was like, I still have no feeling in all of like the top part of my arm and into my chest from it. Like it was bad.
But it wasn't that big a deal.
So it's all black and blue down through my armpit, like gnarly at this point. Like, I really know that it's like, you know, my mom being like, oh, I don't think it's that bad. Like, I really realize at this
really
point,
is.
I'm like, because I've been icing it like crazy when I got home, doing everything you're supposed to.
Mm.
And so I tell my buddy Sam at work, I'm like, dude, take a look at my shoulder. I'm like, and he's like, dude, why haven't you gone to the doctor yet? You know, and I'm like, yeah, that was a good question. So I have an orthopedic doctor that I'd gone to for a couple other broken bones and a surgery and stuff, and they're super cool. And so I was kind of waiting until I just knew it was like, I don't want to. I've fallen enough to where it's like you go to the doctor when it's like
it's time
to go to the doctor. And right. So
it's not time yet.
Yeah, this was definitely time. And so I call and I'm feeling just terrible at this point. Like the. It's all set in, you know, it's like, like, I got to get this dealt with. And so I call and I'm just telling them like, cause it's a specialist. Like, it's not a regular doctor that you can just go see. And so you're supposed to have a referral.
Right.
And so I call them and I'm like, hey, I've been a patient of you guys a few times. I would like to come in to get an x-ray. And they're like, all right, we can't see you till Wednesday. And this is Monday.
Right.
And I'm like, man, that sucks. You know, so I'm like, all right, I'll see you guys Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I gut out the next, I finish work Monday, go to work Tuesday. At this point, still don't know what's going on. And go in on Wednesday to the doctor's in Lakewood. I think I even went to work that day and then drove out to Lakewood and go in and I tell them, they're like, well, what happened? And I was like, oh, I had a bicycle accident. Because sometimes when you tell them it's like a BMX crash, they just look at you totally different. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like,
yeah,
you dumb idiot.
Like this kid again, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, oh, I had a bicycle crash. And they're like, okay. They're like, what'd you hurt? And I'm like, oh, my shoulder. So they take me back to go get an x-ray. And they do the x-ray, you know, and you don't see it for a while, right? So they do the x-ray. I go back into the doctor room. You know, and no one's seeing me for like, it's like 10 minutes goes by. And finally, this nurse that I haven't seen before comes in and she's like, hey, have you filled out the surgery waiver yet? And I'm like, what? You know, like, because I've gotten x-rays before and they've never done the, like,
surgery.
Go straight to
the surgery waiver.
Yeah. I haven't even seen the x-ray.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I haven't even seen the x-ray yet. I'm like, no, I haven't signed the surgery waiver. And she's like, oh, okay, well, we'll be back. And then the doctor comes back in, and he's like, bicycle crash, huh? He's like, well, how fast were you going? And I was like, because I'm not scraped up or anything. It's like, yeah, I just went, like, blop.
Yeah.
And so he's like, bicycle crash. Well, how fast do you think you're going? And I was like, oh, honestly, man, I wasn't going that fast. I was like, it was like I did a jump and I fell. And he's like, oh. And I was like, well, why? And he's like, well, take a look at your x-ray. So I'm like, all right. So I go take a look at it. And the, like, half of my shoulder is just like, it's splintered. Like, it broke all screwed up. Like that. Like a sheet. I don't know how to explain it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get like it. A sheet of plywood folding.
Yeah, like it, like, that. And so it, like, was sticking up like this. And that's when it was, like, all of a sudden it was just, like, everything, like, tightened up. And I was like, oh. Like, once you see it, you know, you're like, oh, okay, that's why it's not feeling good, you know?
Oh.
And,
that's horrific.
So they're like, yeah, you have a third degree separation on your shoulder, so your shoulder's like split apart.
And we call it a flapjack.
Yeah, and then you broke your collarbone.
Oh.
So I'm like, okay, well, what do we do? And they're like, well, we gotta
build it back.
Yeah, they're like, we gotta build it back. And so at first I'm like, gross. I'm like, are you guys sure that we need to do the surgery on this? And the lady's looking at me like,
are you nuts?
Like, what? Like,
you think it's going to grow back like that?
I was like, I'm all about natural. She's like, no, it's not happening. So then they couldn't. They're like, well, you got to schedule surgery. And they couldn't get me in for like another week. Like, it was something stupid like that. Where I'm like,
you were trying to put some tea tree oil on that shit.
Yeah. I'm like, put some salve on it. Yeah, I'll be fine.
Damn it.
I was like, I can move my hand and stuff.
This will work. See? Click, click, click.
So they ended up, they couldn't get me in for like another week. I could tell too, part of the doctor was like, what?
How did you do that?
Why didn't you go to the emergency room like immediately on Sunday afternoon is what he's thinking?
I think that's kind of what he was thinking. But it's
and
like,
you're
dude,
a Wednesday right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, at this point, happened on a Sunday. Wednesday now I'm at afternoon. Wednesday. And I think they couldn't get me in until like the following Wednesday. I'm pretty sure it was something. It might even actually been the following Thursday because I worked the whole time up to it. And I think it was I think I took a Thursday and Friday off and was back.
Well.
But so, yeah, they.
Wow.
Scheduled surgery and. I think it was eight screws and a little a plate, and then they had to stitch my tendons on my, because of the way the shoulder separated. That was the part I was like, I don't want to hear about this. Mm-hmm. Just do what you have to do. Mm-hmm. So they had to deal with that whole thing, and it just kind of sucked because it's like you're in like new dad mode, and you got this little baby at home, and so now all of a sudden it's like, you know, I can't ride my bike, can't play music, can't hold my kid.
Your daddy brain was calling your little kid brain a dumb ass.
Yeah, it was just, there was this. Every time you
what
get
were you
hurt,
doing?
Like a lot of my music has always come from getting hurt, you know, through the, because I've been riding forever. And
I broke my leg.
Well, no, there's
write
this
a record while I wait.
Well, there's kind of this like, there's a big reflective period because it's like,
yeah.
To
alive. Get, and not to say that like I'm good at riding BMX, but it's like to get good at something, you just obsess over it so much, and it is such a part of your life, like insanely. And I don't think anybody who has really lived in that knows just how obsessed you can really be over something, and then to have that world stripped away from you all of a sudden is like you're just a social idiot. Like, you don't know what to do, you don't know how to talk to people, you don't relate, you don't,
you just got out of jail.
Yeah, and it's
even though it was like heaven. Mm-hmm. Heaven jail.
And so all you want to do is just try to get back to that thing, but then there's this real like reflective moment of like well, who am I? And like, you know, like, what am I doing? And
yeah,
you know, like, what's going on? And it can be a pretty creative period. And so this was kind of like, I'd started this project that's going to come out on the 8th, had the kid, we were halfway through it, got hurt, and then it was kind of in a weird way a blessing in disguise, because I think I would have maybe rushed the project to come out a little sooner, and so it was kind of cool to, all of a sudden it was just like, all that stuff didn't matter anymore. All that mattered was getting better, taking care of the family, you know, chilling out. I still would go to band practice and just sing with wheelies. I just wouldn't play guitar. Mm-hmm. And like, they would bring a keyboard in. It's not, it's also not the first time that they've dealt with me where all of a sudden it's like,
maybe we get somebody with a cello for a couple months, you know, I don't know,
maybe we get a rollerblader, man.
But looking back at it, it sucked so bad. Like, in the moment I tried to like tell myself it wasn't that bad, but mm-hmm. it sucked. I'm still dealing with it. Like, you know, like I said, like a good chunk of my chest and my left arm, like my whole shoulder's has no feeling whatsoever. And
wow.
But I think it'll come back.
One more time. I'm not big of a deal.
But I can wait. The shoulder and collarbone thing just looked at.
Kind of not that big of a deal.
I know all the people at my work. Just after that, everybody at my work was like, oh, what to do with this guy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's different. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
This dude's a crazy butt rock.
Oh! God, I hate it. I hate the cussing thing, man.
It's good for the soul.
Anyways, I'm glad you're back. Your shoulder just works.
But yeah, it came back. You know, it was, like, at that point, it was just, like, all I was focused on was getting better. And everybody's telling me, like maybe this is your time to stop, you know? And there's just this deal where it's like, dude, I'm not gonna stop. Like,
dude,
maybe I'll chill out.
Yeah,
like, I still have this thing when I get on my bike where it's like, I just want to go as fast as I can and go. You know, it's a really freeing feeling, and launch yourself in the air and mm-hmm. all of that. But kind of learn to chill out a little bit. And,
right.
You know, wait till the time is right. But there's, for me, and this is just me, you know, got the kid and all that. Everybody tells you, like, chill out. You'll probably get hurt again. Probably will. But if I told myself I was all done with it, mm-hmm. I would be all done. Like, there right. would be, I wouldn't have gotten better, if that makes sense. Like, it mm-hmm. would have just been like, well, this is it. Like, and I'm not going to push myself to get back to where I was, because that's all that was on my mind was, I'm gonna get back to where I was, because that's where I'm happy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you're like, well, you gotta stop, and it's like, well, that's,
what do I need the shoulder for? You yeah, know, who, like, cares?
I mean, it's a little different, like having the kid, you know. It's like, well, I mean, I don't want to be like blown out yet, but like, I still feel good. I'm, you know, a lot of people even told me at the age I was at now, like, I've been riding since I was a little kid. Like, it took over my life super young. And, you know, people are like, oh, when you're in your 20s, you're just going to feel terrible. Your joints are going to be blown out. You're not going to be happy. And it's like, dude, I feel, some days I feel pretty crunchy, I won't lie. But for the most part, at 32, for everything I've, you know, it's like, I've taken a few lumps here and there, and it's like, I feel good. I don't feel like I'm done at all. Like, I feel like I'll be 50 years old and still be stoked. It's where a lot of my inspiration comes from for life. It's just like, it's how I look at the world. Like, everything, like, I'm stoked on music because of BMX. I'm stoked on art because of BMX. I'm stoked on...
right.
Like,
it's all centered around that.
And I also hope that my kid can see just the, you know, it's like, dude, my dad's stoked on life. You know, it's like...
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I don't want him to, like, go out and do the same thing, but it's, you know, I want him to find his stoke, and, like, so he's waking up every day and, like, yeah, I'm stoked on life. Like, I want to go out and do come up thing. With stuff and, you know, not be scared of the world. And
do you have a song? After you said that you don't want to break it up and you made it all to be one thing and you want everybody to experience it as one thing, do you have a song that you want to pick from that to play right now?
Yeah. Do you want to just totally negate that whole concept and give us a little soundbite?
And can you explain it?
Well, because I mean, there's, all of the songs work on their own, too. That's kind of the thing.
But yeah, all, I get that. I was just poking fun and have and just playing the fool, that kind of stuff.
Like normal.
But which one? Like, can you explain it to?
Yeah, it's
a short one. We don't get it.
It's kind of actually about like being a teenager when I was like 16, 17 years old, and sort of like driving around in my best friend's car in his passenger seat, and you know, kind of trying to think about what you're going to be in the future, and maybe like going out and doing like bad kid stuff.
What they like to call bad kid stuff.
But yeah, it's kind of just about like growing up, I guess.
I said,
haven't been around much in a while, but we have. Well, this place just feels so dead without you. Even though that was far away, well, it still feels like yesterday. Well, I can't remember what it was you'd say. Haven't been around much in a while. Oh, this place just feels the same without you. Oh, you did what you gotta do. Yeah, you swear it all was true. But well, you can't remember what it was you'd do. Oh, you said you grew up tough and mean. Oh, you never grew your hair, spilled a drink in a limousine. Sweet kid, now you're on a tear, and you swear that you don't care. Oh, you hate it when they give you that blank stare. Fires when you're in a child. But I play your tape on the stereo, but you swear it's time to go. Oh, he's bound and down, and let's roll back to all where everything feels new. Oh, that's just tongue in cheek. Oh, but it's always sounding sweet. Ride until the end. Oh, you were such a friend. Oh, you're always hanging around. So let's just calm them down.
Nice.
Awesome.
That's a cool song.
Thanks, guys. That's going to be, what number is that on the album?
7.
Nice.
Number 7.
Track 7.
Yeah.
That's the one, that's the video.
That's the video.
Cool. Yeah.
So we gotta wait.
You gotta wait.
Till the 8th of December 2017. Can you believe it's 2017?
About to be 2018.
About to be 2020.
Dude, ooh, the world is coming to an end, man. It's crazy. Or it's getting crazy, I meant to say. I didn't mean to wish that on anybody.
No.
Where were you guys at Y2K?
I was at this band's house, Insult to Injury. They're an old hip-hop band that I used to juggle with.
Uh-huh.
And I was with them. And there was all these crazy people came to their house. Weird. It was a weird place.
Did you think the end of the world was going to happen?
No, but they had a whole song about how it was, so it was kind of weird. Kind of awkward.
Yeah. I don't remember where I was.
You don't remember?
Mm-mm.
You didn't care. You knew that shit wasn't going to break.
Don't lie. You had a bunker.
You were locked away. I don't remember.
My mom wouldn't let me leave the house. She was convinced something bad was going to happen.
Huh.
So, who's at the house?
Me, my mom, and my brother. And then, like, she, like, stashed
did
water.
Did you have all the stuff?
Yeah. I'm not even kidding.
I believe you. That's what I'm saying. I'm into it.
One of our neighbors was like, somebody stole an ambulance. And my mom was like, an ambulance? And I was like, why does that matter? And she's like, well, if the bad people do something bad and they get hurt, then they can fix themselves with an ambulance. And I was like, lady.
They're like, getting high. Hey, lady, they're fixing themselves with a
triple. But the whole thing was that
when one bad person gets hurt, like, all the other bad people aren't like, man, we got to inconvenience ourselves by stealing an ambulance and fixing this person. They just kill that guy. Like, oh, man, that sucks. You took it in the shoulder. Bam! All right, let's go.
But the whole deal was that the computers couldn't go from 99 to 2000.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that the world's going to blow up.
Why was that going to be the end?
Why does that ignite everything?
Why was that the end? That was the end-all for a second. Like, everyone
if
was
no
like,
computer would work at all.
Y2K? I had this sweet shirt in ninth grade because I was pretty young when that happened. And it said Y2K compliant and it had an arrow pointing down.
Y2K, dude, I haven't thought about that for a very long time.
No, it's been almost 18 years.
Dude, Charles Manson's dead.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, fuck you said, guy. Damn it, that guy. His ghost. Sorry about all the cussing. The cuss can's gone. We got to get a cuss can.
Mm-hmm.
Swear jar.
Yeah, swear jar cuss can. We got it. You just fill it up. Did I cuss?
No, I'm like, it's called a swear jar. And you're like, I've never heard anyone say that.
That'd be a good
damn it.
Video station name. For your, a name for your show. Swear jar.
Swear jar. Welcome to the swear jar.
Wow.
It's hope just a pocket full.
Cha-ching, cha-ching. I've got some new interns, right?
Uh-huh.
Interns are the best thing ever, sent from the Lord above. And, or whatever. And, one of them's Horacio, and he is for the podcast, which is a, you don't know how long we've needed extra hands at the podcast to, like, help edit and all this stuff, and he's totally into it, and it's super dope, and it was all on accident, and, like, he came here looking, like, I usually pick him out of the soda email list I have, and he came here looking, like, and then got my, or I met him at an art show. And then he was like, can I come to your studio and check it out, you know? And I was like, he's just trying to do that Karate Kid shit. Like, I'm Mr. Miyagi in this. I'm Mr. Miyagi in this.
Do you hit him with, you're the best around. Nothing's ever gonna get you down.
Yeah, but I do it like a ventriloquist because he didn't sing that, you know? So I just do that out the side of my mouth kind of when he's not looking.
It's cool. So he's the podcast man?
Yeah. He's dope. So I told him he could start his own little segment, right? Like interview somebody or do something, figure out something. And so he came back and he's like, oh, my buddy's in this punk band and they're called
Tiger Hawk.
And then I was like, oh, cool. That sounds cool, you know? And he's like, okay, so I'll interview them and make a little thing. You know, he's editing, so he's trying to edit his own little thing. And so here's his segment. We're going to call it, I don't know, I think we can call it the Millennial Minute.
We can, you know.
Maybe it's a working title.
It's a working title.
I like
title.
The Millennial Minute.
Yeah, we had that before, but
what's
I want to,
segment?
I don't know. Yeah, it's good.
What's the segment?
It's him interviewing his buddy that's in the punk band that's called something. And he's going to tell you right now.
Welcome to the intern segment. My name is Horacio. I edit the podcast with Bleep Bloops and interviewing today a guy by the name of Joe.
What's up?
Frontman of Tacoma Band.
We're called Tiger Hawk. Yeah, we suck. Don't listen to us.
All right. So what's up, Joe? How you doing today, man?
Very good, man. Just eating a spicy... Actually, it's not really spicy. It's a cheesy bean and rice burrito for a dollar that you buy at Taco Bell. It's fucking delicious. If you ever go to Taco Bell. Yeah, I'm good, man. You know, just chilling. Chilling with Horacio here. You know, I just do a little skate sesh.
Yeah,
it's cool. Drink a beer. Single beer, because we got to be responsible.
Definitely.
That's pretty right.
How exactly did Tiger Hawk come to be? as it is now?
Well, it started off with a lot of drinking. I used to work at this bar called the Top of Tacoma on the east side. And so I was working, and I got off early, and all my friends were drinking, and like there was this dude Nolan, who's our drummer. He was like new to the group, and we're just like all hanging out,
right?
And just jamming, like not jamming, just like talking and stuff, drinking beers, you know, getting crunk, and
gracious,
that was fun. And then we were just like all drunkenly speaking about, you know, starting music, and we agreed to practice one day, and then like I thought it was just gonna be like it was a drunk talk, you know, like it's not gonna happen. Oh, but then we all like kept in contact and like actually started jamming. I was originally the drummer of the band, and Nolan, the drummer now, is a singer. And so we've just been like writing songs and stuff, and then I wrote a song about skateboarding, and Nolan agreed to like play drums for that one song. We were just gonna do like a one-off switcheroo like between sets to like, you know, keep it interesting or whatever. And then so I sang this song that I wrote, and they're just like, dude, you should just be the singer, man. Just fucking do it. And I was like, cool, man. I mean, I'm glad to do that. And and the rest is history, man. We've just been playing shows here and there. I played some really good ones, played a few bad ones, but you know, whatever. It's like every scene.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so is there any message in your music? Like, do you wanna? I don't know. Like, what's your overall theme, I guess? If you have one, if not, then.
Lately, it's, you know, it's been a lot of, I don't know. Most of the that we've been, like, singing about lately has been, like, anti-cop, anti-establishment. I feel like that's a big issue right now, especially with, you know, police brutality on the rise, racism, like, all this, like, bad that we really don't need in this country. There's some songs that we write, and I'm like, oh, I gotta make up some lyrics right now, so I'll just like
start flowing.
Start flowing, man. Just kind of like freestyle rapping, but I'm not rapping. You know, it's cool.
Yeah,
but,
pretty close to it though, right?
Yeah, but it just kind of sucks because like I get really stoked on the song, and then I'm like, oh shit, like those lyrics are so dumb. You know, they're like, oh, we already recorded them. Oh well. yeah, and also like another thing is like do what you want, man. As long as it's not, you know, crummy or you're not hurting anybody, do what you do, you know? You just gotta be yourself. Don't let anybody take that away from you, man. It's kind of the basics of Tiger Hawk. I don't know.
Alright, so who do you, if anybody, who do you look up to musically or in general?
Damn, that's a really hard question, man. I'm gonna have to say, the first punk band I've ever listened to is Black Flag. Henry Rollins. That dude's done like so much cool shit. You know, like he joined Black Flag. He was just like, he was working at a fucking Dairy Queen in Washington, D.C. And then like he got hit up after like doing like guest vocals during a show because like their singer just like walked out, whatever. So he just like picked up the mic, and the dudes from Black Flag were like, oh, dude, we need you. Come tour with us. And then just became the f***ing singer, and I was like, dude, that's so sick. Like, this dude just pretty much gave up his whole life to tour with a bunch of smelly, stinky old farts. I would love to tour and just, like, live my life touring, you know, skating all the time, not giving a heck. Don't want to be a cog in the capitalist machine.
Hear, hear.
You know, but until then, I'm just gonna... I just derailed off track, but a lot of like local acts actually like also like influence me, is, you know, it's like home brewed music, you know, and like you could take away from that.
So just got one more question for you. If you were a sandwich, what kind of sandwich would you be?
Good question. I'm actually a really big fan of fusion cuisine. So I like to like mix a lot of weird like today, right before I went to meet up with you, actually,
yeah.
I made a sandwich.
Fusion sandwich?
Yeah, a fusion sandwich, if you will. Yeah, so, like, my girlfriend kind of ate most of the ham that we had. So there's, like, little chunks, you know, like little scraps in there. And I was just like, damn, I really want a sandwich, though. And then I realized that we had Dino chicken nuggets in the freezer. So I just, like, popped a few of those in the microwave. And then just, like, added that into, like, in between two slices of Dave's Killer Bread. I don't know. It was not as good as I wanted it to be, but it, like, hit the spot. But if I could be a sandwich, I'd be that one, because it's, like,
so... What do you call that sandwich?
I don't know, man. Dino's Bar and Grill.
Nice. You know,
like, it's a Dino's Bar and Grill. So I'd suggest trying that out, you know? Yeah.
Alrighty, so any last words for the fans out there?
Call your mom every chance you got. Tell your friends you love them. Actually, wait, scratch that. Call all your homies and tell them you love them. When was the last time you called your homies and told them that you love them? Think about that. Peace.
Damn. Very deep. Very good message. That was Joe Marino from the band Tigerhawk. Catch him. Catch him around Tacoma, skating, smoking, and just being a butthead.
Millennial Minute, what up?
What up? Millennial Minute. Horacio! Big Monk. Oh, Big Monk, son. Ha ha. Wash the car. That's how you learn something. That's how you learn something. The George Manson, what's his name? Charles. Charles Manson's dead?
Yes.
You guys want to hear a Donald Trump joke?
Yes. So bad.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Do you guys know Donald Trump's favorite drink?
No.
White Russian. Donald Trump's very funny. But have you seen Slow Down Trump? Have you guys seen that?
Slow Down Trump?
Drunk Trump?
No.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, Slow Down. Yes. Slow it down. Yes, it's the best.
And he's like,
look at all these
people. They just take real footage and slow it down.
Wow.
Hold on.
Have you seen it?
Yes, but here, let's put some in.
Hello. Wow, look at all the people up there. It's a big balcony. Hello, balcony. Ohio. Such an important state.
Yeah, so.
All right, George Bush joke. George Bush Jr. gets called in the Oval Office. Saying, Mr. Bush, there's some bad news on the war on terror today. We have lost 13 Brazilian soldiers. And Mr. W goes, oh my God. How many is a Brazilian?
That one's pretty good. I like that one.
He was pretty good for that stuff.
He's pretty good for that kind of stuff. Oh, dude, he's my favorite guy now. The painting himself, all that.
All the so paintings, that
awesome.
I mean, that whole thing is like so like David Lynch movie.
Yes.
I really like it. Surreal. It's really weird.
It's awesome. He's just having a good time, this guy. telling us your stories. That was fun. You have to come back and do it again and again and again. Go like break some other stuff and tell us all about it.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah, no, don't tell them to break things. What's wrong with you?
It's a entertainment factory.
Do it for our listeners, Pat.
Well, I mean,
keep it up. Thanks, man.
And until next time we talk to you guys. Oh, wait a minute. We got to say thanks to Tacoma Radio.
Radio Tacoma. Tacoma. Radio. It's
wait. I said it wrong. It's Radio Tacoma.
Radio Tacoma.
Radio Tacoma.
101.9. Ooh.
Keep listening, because we're back, baby. And we're stoked. And we're stoked on hearing our own voices on the radio. I mean, let's just leave. Let's just leave. I can't do this. See you guys next time. Bullscotchic, bullscotchic, bullscotchic.